Father, we thank you that you care about us, each and every one, that you give us the strength for each day. And we just pray that each of these individuals and families will look to you. There are many more on our prayer list dealing with sickness, ailments, some long-term, many who are frustrated, many staying at home. And we just pray for each and every one of them that they will look to you and find your strength to carry Jesus as their shield, your word growing in their hearts, in their lives, trusting in you that even when we leave this world, we have nothing to fear. We are in your hands for eternity, all because of Jesus. Help us to walk in faithfulness and obedience, to encourage one another as we press through each and every day, as we uplift one another, as we search your scriptures. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for the hope and promise of eternity, all because of Jesus. We praise you in his name. Amen. Well, it is good to see you today. And I pray that you are being blessed at this point and continue to be blessed as the day progresses on. I mentioned to you last week that my brother worked on the dairy just across the pasture from our house, and I got to wander around in the cows with the cows. Well, when I got old enough, I got a job at another dairy about a mile down the road. And I was working for a whole 50 cents an hour. I was getting rich. I was just a kid, cutting weeds and cleaning calf pans and doing this, doing that, taking care of the yard and stuff. And as part of my pay was when I was ever there during the full day, was I got to eat lunch with the family that had hired me, an older couple. They were should have been retired by the time I started working for them, but they just kept on milking their cows. And so I'd get to eat a big, full lunch, anything, everything I could eat there. And, of course, being on a dairy farm, one of the blessings, guess what you get to drink? All the fresh, cold milk out of the big cooler tank that you could drink. It was Guernsey, which is a really nice balance, not too fat, not too slim. And, boy, I was enjoying that, all the milk I could drink. But I took my habit home. And evidently between me and my brothers and my sister, we started breaking the bank of my folks. And one day I went to the fridge and got a nice big glass of nice cold milk. I was at home and took one big swig and, what was that? Well, Dad got taken to the grill. What did you put in the milk? And it turns out Dad was just trying to make ends meet, and he decided the best way to solve part of the problem was he started buying powdered milk and mixing it half and half with the whole milk and trying to fool us all. It didn't work. Ugh. But, you know, when you're on a budget, you got to make things work, and so we endured powdered milk mixed with our milk for some time. When I left home, guess what I reverted back to? Good old whole milk. Got to have whole milk. And, of course, I paid for that out of my own pocket, which I didn't mind doing. And then I got married. And Sally weaned me down to 2%. And she tried 1% one time. And I said, don't do that to me again, please. I'll drink 2%, but not 1%. That is like water with chalk in it. And so, anyway, I resisted my wife and her corruptive ways. Sally can tell you some of the stories anyway. As we go through life, you know, we spend an immense amount of energy and focus on our taste buds, on our belly, on our budget, and a lot of other things. How much time and effort do we place upon our spiritual health? And that is what I want to ask today. Do we neglect some of the words of Scripture, but emphasize other portions of Scripture to our own detriment? Or do we consume a balanced diet of words that lead to eternal life? God wants us to be sure to take in all of His Word, not to get picky, focused just on one thing or another. We are not to spend all of our time on Mosaic law. And this we find in some groups, they will spend quite a bit of time trying to focus on living the law again, which New Testament warns us about. We are saved by the grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by keeping all the rules. We don't live by just revelation. We don't live by just the book of John. We don't live by just picking bits and pieces, but we are to take a full balanced diet of all of Scripture, fitting it together as God wants us to, looking at the whole picture. Today, let's take some time to evaluate and possibly adjust our spiritual diets, looking at just a portion of what the Apostle Peter has to say to us in the end of 1 Peter chapter 1, going into the beginning of chapter 2. Reading from verse 22 through 25 at the end of chapter 1 into the first three verses of chapter 2. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Let's pray once again for just a moment, asking God to lead us and guide us. Father, you are good. You've given us hope and promise in Jesus Christ. You've preserved for us through the ages your written word so that we can read it, study it, and apply it to our own living. To allow your Spirit to lead us and guide us, remind us of your truths as we face the challenges of each and every day. Father, help us to take to heart your word, all of it, and to apply it. To let your Spirit lead us and guide us and remind us of areas that we need to improve. That we would be your people, that we would know your word, and that we would be able to share it with those who ask us questions. Help us to be good examples, good leaders, good teachers of those who are seeking life. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at this passage, I've picked out three little points regarding the proper spiritual nutrition for us, having proper spiritual nutrition. Proper spiritual nutrition begins with the new birth. As the Apostle Peter shares with us, we have a new birth because of Jesus Christ. Peter's letter of encouragement and instruction is written to people who have been born again. He's writing to fellow believers. And Peter is assuming that you have followed the directions, that you have been born again. Let's refresh our memory. Back in chapter 1, verse 3, we have these words written for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There we see that God has mercifully caused believers of Jesus, not just believers in something, but believers in God, but specifically believers in Jesus Christ, that they are born again to a living hope through the living Savior, Jesus, who has conquered the grave. There's a lot of people, if you ask them, do you believe in God? Well, in America, a majority at this point will say, yes, we believe in God. Now, unfortunately, that's a shrinking number. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God and Redeemer? Oh, you're getting radical now. You're pushing the envelope there when you start asking them, do you believe in Jesus Christ? But that is what is required for us to have this living hope. And He doesn't stop with just verse 3. He has brought it up again. I assume you caught that in verse 23, what we read. For you have been born again, not of the seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. What is the Word of God? You mean we're born again with paper and ink? John chapter 1 opens up with the Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. It is Jesus. Through Jesus, once again, using this phrase, this analysis, this comparison of who Jesus was. We read that these believers of Jesus were living lives of love as a result of being born again. Jesus living in them. He gave them eternal life. He gives believers, all believers, can eternal life. He gives you and me eternal life. And He continues giving life to all who will obey Him. And this is the good news that we need to pass on to the people around us of this hope, this life. Now, Peter is repeating the teachings that he learned from Jesus. He's not coming up with brand new words or theology or doctrine. Jesus spoke of the necessity for people to be born again if they wanted to go to heaven. And we find this when He spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, starting in verse 3 and following. We see that the only people, Jesus says that the only people who would see God's kingdom would be those who have been born again. And there Nicodemus asked, what? Be born again? What are you talking about? And Jesus explained, He describes in verse 5 that this new birth involves water and God's Spirit. Water and Spirit. You must be born of water and the Spirit. Now, the concept of being renewed through water and God's touch is not a new one with Jesus. It's not a new revelation. It's not something Jesus dreamed up or came up with. We follow this pattern from the very beginning of the existence of the nation of Israel. If we go to the books of Exodus and read Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, over and over again, God uses the symbology, the significance of water and His involvement in people's lives who are obeying Him. Deuteronomy shows us how Aaron and his descendants were handpicked by God, but they were required repeatedly to wash themselves over and over again as they lived in service of God, lived in obedience to God, in total submission to God's law. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 30, verses 17, for a few verses there. I cheated. I bookmarked mine, so I've got it there already. Everybody there yet? We're having a Bible book drill. Exodus chapter 30, verse 17 through 21. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also make a laver of bronze with its base of bronze, for the washing, and you shall put it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet from it when they enter the tent of meeting. They shall wash with water so that they will not die. Or when they approach the altar to minister by offering up in smoke a fire sacrifice to the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet so that they will not die. And it shall be a perpetual statute for them, for Aaron and his descendants throughout their generations. The priesthood must keep clean hands and clean feet if they're going to serve God. If they did not do that, what would they do? What would happen? They would die. God would strike them dead. So didn't your mama tell you to wash your hands and your feet? Well, let's don't go that way. Anyway, God demanded this physical attribute of his priesthood. If they were going to serve him, which he gave them this special selection as his priest to come to him personally to offer up these offerings and sacrifices, and God took care of all this particular tribe, the tribe of Levi, by the gifts and offerings that the people were bringing. God not only received them for himself, but he shared them with this tribe, but they had to follow the directions. Otherwise, God would curse them. He would strike them dead. This is not the only example. We could go on through the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 and following tells us that the nation of Israel were to keep God's law, his word, in their hearts, in their minds, constantly, to write them on the doorposts, to write them on the walls, to recite them. Graffiti. How many of us take time to write God's word on the walls, on our doorposts, on our minds, in our heart? That's really where he wants them. He wants us to think about his will, his ways. Sometimes it helps to write it down. After the Israelites were enslaved by the Babylonians hundreds of years later, God had to remind them and encourage the people through his prophet Ezekiel. Let's turn over to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 22 through 27. Some interesting words that we find there. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 22 through 27 says, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God." Symbolically, figuratively, literally, God used water over and over again with his people as he worked with them and gave them his spirit. From Old Testament, and now we come into the New Testament, and we see it employed again under the direction of God's leaders. The very first day of the church, the Apostle Peter presented God's divine plan of transforming the people. This transformation process, it's recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The people cried out, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "What? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Here, the Apostle Peter directed the new repenting believers of Jesus to be washed in water and to receive God's gift of his Holy Spirit as they obey God. The Apostle Paul describes in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 8, how believers die to sin, then they are buried with Christ through what? Through baptism, water immersion, water washing, if you would, and they are raised in new life to walk with Jesus Christ for how long? Forever. Thank God for the new birth that He initiated. It's not anything that we do. It is God's direction through His leaders time and again throughout Old Testament into the New Testament. God uses these physical things in the process of conducting His spiritual transforming process. Second point that I want to deal with, not only are we have to have this proper spiritual nutrition at the new birth. Second of all, we see that new creatures in Christ require different food. We require different food than from what we were eating in the past when we become a Christian. You know, among the many wonders of the creation is the transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. The word is metamorphosis. And the same word is used in relation to our transforming into becoming Christians. There's a metamorphosis from what we used to be to what we become. In the case of the monarch caterpillar, what do monarch caterpillars eat? There's only one thing that they eat. Does anybody know? It's milkweed. Milkweed. And milkweed has a sap in it that is deadly to most insects. It's toxic. But somehow the caterpillar of the monarch is able to eat milkweed and not die. And then they go into the cocoon process, and then they transform, and they become a beautiful butterfly. Right? Am I wrong? What do monarch butterflies eat after this transforming process? Do they go back to milkweed? No. After they go through the metamorphosis, they can eat the, I want to say pollen. I want to make sure I get it correct. Somebody's going to correct me. The nectar from any type of blossom. The nectar from any type of blossom after they go through the metamorphosis process. Before that, they have a totally different diet. Afterwards, brand new diet. Sweetness before bitterness. I want to use that example for us as people. Before we come to Christ, what is our life like? It's full of sin, corruption, bitterness. What are we to be like after we meet Christ? I'll use the term sweet. We should be a sweet people, a loving people. And we should be feeding on what? Not bitterness, but sweetness, goodness. People who do not seek after God and His righteousness will feed their mind on bitter evil that is provided by the devil. God warns us over and over again through Scripture to avoid these things, to avoid the corruption, to avoid the diet that Satan wants us to have, the banquet that he provides for us, and instead we are to seek God's sweetness. The Apostle Paul warns us about this in the book of Romans. I want to read the verses, Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, if you'll want to turn there with me. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, we find these words. And just as you did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. The life of the evil, those outside of God's will. And that's just one list. Well, did you catch the list that the Apostle Peter gave to us here in our section today? Peter also provides us a short list in 1 Peter chapter 2 of five deadly, bitter thoughts and actions we are to avoid, to cast away, to not participate in. What are those? The first one is malice. What is malice? It's wickedness, it's ill will or desiring to injure somebody else. The action or attitude is opposite of trying to lovingly help others. I struggle with malice. When I see something bad happen to others, I think, what if I were there? What would I do to get even with those people, to stop the bad? And I start thinking, what? Malice. I think bad thoughts. What does God say? We are to get rid of those feelings, those desires, and to figure out ways to help the people. The second one is listed is guile. Guile is deceit. It is literally a bait, a lure, or a snare, or a method of entrapping somebody else. It is fraud. It is craftiness. It is a big fat lie in order to harm somebody else. It is false. It is opposite of what God would want. God is truth. Jesus is truth. And He wants us to be what? Truth, not lies. The next word is hypocrisy. We are to avoid hypocrisy. Now, the original Greek here is plural, hypocrisies. Now, most of our scriptures don't interpret it that way, but hypocrisies? Oh, you can't do multiple hypocrisies, can you? Oh, yes, we can. We're pretty good at it when we follow Satan. We are not to be an actor or a fake about anything. Avoid pretending to be someone that you are not. Simulating or counterfeiting what we think somebody wants to see and not being ourselves. We end up trying to please people instead of pleasing God. Do you change when certain people come around you? Do you act differently when certain people come around you? That is hypocrisy. We are to be pure servants of Jesus, true all the time. Envy is the next one, number four. Now, the original Greek here also is plural. But if you go back and look at the other three, it says all of the slander, all of this guile, all of the malice, all of these things, any form, any aspect of it, get rid of it all. Any envies, plural. It is jealousy or spite when we have a feeling of discontent or mortification. Usually it's coupled with ill will at seeing another's superiority or their advantages or their success. And this type of evil shows that we are displeased or we're aggravated that somebody else had something good happen to them or they had a successful event or they are blessed in some way and we didn't get any. Why didn't I get my share? And so we get upset with other people who are doing well, successful, good, and blessed. And then the last one is all slander. All slander. Any disparaging or belittling remarks or cutting somebody down in their reputation or their worth or their character in any way, in all forms, words, phrases that degrade somebody else. Even our enemies. And especially don't do it to the church family. I'm guilty of this one too, because when I get around some others, I use the term rib them. Give them a hard time. But in the process of doing that, what are we doing? We're degrading them instead of building them up. So these are things the Apostle Peter warns us about. They've got to change. We've got to reflect Jesus in all things. In contrast to this sin's bitterness, Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, to enjoy living in God's gift of love for our fellow believers, remembering to practice love for one another. And we have the Apostle Paul's help on that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, gives us directions. What is God's love? What is the love we are to follow? Patient, kind, good. Just goes on and on and on. Those who are born again should no longer have an appetite for the evil, the bitterness, the corruption, but we should be longing for, hungering for, thirsting after the pure Word of God. And the Word of God is, once again, who? It's Jesus. Becoming like Jesus. In Psalm 119, we have 175 verses. How many of us have that memorized? I got to put my hand back down. 175 verses that describes the importance of God's Word in every aspect of our living. The writer of that psalm followed the Hebrew alphabet in describing all the various characteristics of loving the Word of God, applying the Word of God, living in the Word of God. I think I've got maybe 2, 3, 4 verses memorized out of that whole chapter. In John chapter 6, verse 35, this morning I had Brother Robert read from John chapter 6. In verse 35, Jesus identifies himself as who? The bread of life. Now, it got kind of challenging in there as you read on through the passage. Jesus goes on to teach the crowd that they were to eat him and to drink his blood. What does that sound like to you? Cannibalism. And that's where their mind went too. But for those who were listening, he said that his words were the source of life. His words are life. Jesus is the living Word, and he lived God's will fully. Jesus was the walking, talking Word of God. Believers in Christ Jesus should be craving for God's Word. We should be craving for God's Word. The example is that newborns require wholesome milk frequently and consistently. Those of you who were mothers, was being a new mother easy? No, it was rough. I assume, that's what I've been told, that's what I've seen. I've never been a mother myself. Of being a new daddy, I remember the many times that my sleep was interrupted. The need of fresh, wholesome milk for the newborn was constant, consistent, and frequent. The milk in this passage, we are told, represents God's Word. It is all of God's Word. All of the Bible's message, Again, we don't just focus on the book of Exodus. We don't just focus on Revelation. We take in all of God's Word. Now, there's another couple of passages in Scripture that use milk as an illustration, but it is different in those two passages. Don't confuse this reference of the milk of God's Word with Paul's reprimand to the immaturity of the church at Corinth. In the church at Corinth, chapter 3, verse 2, and also the writer to the Hebrew people, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 13, the people are reprimanded because they were still at ground zero in the beginning process. They weren't digging into all the Scripture. They were just stuck on, let's just talk about loving one another. Let's just talk about being friends. Let's just talk about going to heaven. Let's don't talk about all the rest of that stuff. It's too difficult. It's too deep. It's too much. And they were criticized for their failure to mature in all the Scripture. And Paul used the illustration they were like babies stuck on milk and not eating solid food, eating the rest of Scripture, getting the rest of God's message, applying it to their lives. They were immature, not focused on all of God's will. They were just looking at, well, what's good for me? What do I like? If it was up to me, I'd eat candy all the time. Well, no, I wouldn't. But isn't that the attitude that so many, if you offer your children a selection of food, quite often they won't choose what's good for them. They'll choose what satisfies their desires. And then you go to the dentist and a doctor and a few other places trying to straighten it all out. Verse 2 ends with, of chapter 2, ends with the encouragement for us to grow in respect to salvation. Maturing into spiritual leaders. Are you a leader of faith? Are you ready to go out and instruct others in God's truth? Oh, just a minute here. I can't do that. Why not? Are you growing in Christ? That's what we're supposed to all be doing. Not just the preacher, not just the elders, not just the Sunday school teachers. All of us are commanded to grow up in respect to salvation. Now, the Scripture does tell us that not everybody is a good teacher. But we should be knowing God's Word. Understanding all of God's Word. Maturing into the leaders that God wants us to be, whether it be in our household, in the church family, or in the nation, or in the world. Who's going to go into the world and preach the gospel? Do missionaries grow on trees? No, they grow from learning Scripture and listening to God's voice to call them into the work. And God wants to call you, each and every one, to specific works. If you're not listening, it's time to wake up. Find your place in the ministry of God. Serve God where He wants you to be. Don't be running around in spiritual diapers your whole life. I don't know what the answer is. Well, why not? Find out. Read the Word. You are to learn to stand upright, to be bold in serving the living God. Those who have tasted the kindness of the Lord are so filled with joy and blessing as a result of God's grace and mercy that they want more. Do you want more of God's Word? Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. Is the source of one of our songs we sang right before the sermon. As the deer pants for water brooks, so my soul pants for Thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, when I shall come and appear before God. when we stand before God, will you be complete or still running around in a spiritual diaper? God makes all believers of Jesus Christ new so that we will grow up to be just like Him in all of His characteristics, all of His qualities. Those characteristics and qualities are learned as we read the book, God's book, and apply it to our lives. I want to encourage you to take time to read God's Word, learn more. I printed off some helps for you. I find it challenging sometimes to make a commitment and then to keep the commitment. And so there's a couple options out here in the entry on the desk. One is to read through the New Testament in a year. It takes about 5 minutes a day for the average reader. And it gives you some leeway there. Some passages will go quicker than others. So it's just a help. Some of you are really bold, want to take a bigger challenge. There's a full Bible reading program for 5 days a week, and it gives you about 5 different passages to read through the week to get through the whole Bible. And so I'm not forcing you to take these. You have to stop and pick them up for yourself, okay? But I want to encourage you, if you're not reading God's Word on a steady, regular basis, you might consider one of these. God bless you. Something else that is out there, talked about we are growing up working together. Some of the ladies are working on Easter decorations, and so Sally has written this up. And if you would like to help out with some of the decorations, maybe some live flowers or want to bring some other things in, Sally's got a note there and you can call her and work with the team. Speaking of this team, I would like to meet for about 5-10 minutes after service if you're interested in helping in the decorating throughout the year, not just right now, but anytime through the year. Let's meet probably right over here. Just for about 5-10 minutes, just for a real quick meeting, if you're interested in helping with decorating. Because God calls for us to be family, working together, and glorifying Him. And this is just one of the many ways that we can glorify God in serving Him. Scripture also teaches that we are to be, that it is beneficial and our duty to study God's lessons with other believers. To not forsake the assembly together. This is one of the frustrations for me with the lockdowns that our governor has put upon us. We need each other to encourage one another in the faith. And we see the example in the New Testament over and over again that the church body found the joy of the Lord learning God's Word together through not just Sunday morning, but throughout the week. In the early days, every single day. We're not asking you to meet every day here, but if you get a little group started in your home or someplace else and are studying God's Word, praise God. Let God lead you in fuller service, understanding of His will. Let's continue to grow. Let's continue to nourish ourselves, our spiritual selves, in God's proper, full nutrition. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for your blessing, your goodness, your touch upon our lives. You have given us, provided for us your scriptures, preserved it through the ages. We have the freedom to read it. Most of us have probably more than one copies of the scripture. Father, let us learn to discipline ourselves and allow your spirit to speak to our hearts, move in our hearts, that we would answer and obey your will in all times, in all things, growing in Jesus Christ, ready for His return, and ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us as people ask us questions about why in the world are you doing that? Let us share with them because we love you, and we love Jesus, and He's given us new purpose, and He has a new purpose for them too. Guide us with your wisdom, your strength, your power, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.